And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of the Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he that calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise God. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling. And what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? And what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places? And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to draw our attention to something this morning. See, there's something about the Word of God. And no matter how much you read it, and no matter how much you meditate on it, there's always more that He can show you about it. Now, Brenda told me this morning, she says, "I'm still getting revelation on those two verses." We had two verses of scripture that we brought out one Wednesday night. And you say, "Well, what was those two verses?" That's one of the important things about being here on Wednesday night and missing out and not missing out on what God's got for us. Because, brothers and sisters, we have four different services every week. And if we miss one service, we're only going to get 3/4 of what God's got for us. Amen. If we miss two services, we're going to get half of what He's got for us. If we miss three services, we're only going to get a quarter of what He's got for us. And if we don't come, we ain't going to get nothing. We ain't going to get nothing. So a lot of times the getting is more up to us than it is to God. A lot of times we blame God because we don't get something and we don't even plug in our own self. But I told Brenda this morning, I said, sometimes on two verses, sometimes can be on one verse. He might have you camping on that verse for a month, or those two verses for a month, and there's no telling how many different things that he can speak to your life out of two verses. But I can promise you this, one word from God will change the rest of your life. Now you can mark it down. One word from God can change the rest of your life. But it was like this when I was in Oklahoma. Because I've given this story before. I was going to school 5 days a week. We got out at half a day, and I worked a regular job. I tried to get a job working at a church school. And they told me I would have to work more hours, and it would take away from my schooling. So I applied for another job, and I got a job in a cabinet shop. And I worked anywhere from 40 to 70 hours a week, every week. And went to school too. So that weren't enough. So I started doing a newspaper route where I would go down to downtown Tulsa to the printing company, pick up a van load of newspaper, carry it to a destination and unload it for the people that would roll it. And then I would take and carry the van back to the shop where it was at. I would go back to Broken Arrow, which is probably another 20-minute drive, at least one way, guessing. I don't remember for sure no more. Get back home in the wee hours of the morning. Go to sleep a few hours. And when I first tried to do this, we had something that we called School of the Bible there at the church. School of the Bible was Sunday school. But it was set up for the different age groups. And I was tired and I missed Sunday school. And I drug through church. And after I did that one or two times, there was something that I realized. And I said, David, you ain't doing this mess. You are going to get up out of that bed. And you're going to go to school of the Bible. Because here's what I found out. See, this is part of an application for us at church. Just like it was an application for me for my life. There were answers that came in that school of the Bible class. God was speaking to people in that school of the Bible class, giving them answers that they needed for their life. And a lot of times we want an answer to come raining down. Somebody to come bringing it in on a paper and delivering it to us. Writing it in the sky. All kind of supernatural ways to do it. But you know what the way that he was wanting to do it for me? Attend school of the Bible class. You're going to get some answers there. We were encouraged with this when we went to school. Pastor Hagin said this. He said, you won't get all of your training at church. I mean at Bible school. He said, so hook into the church. Volunteer in the church. And as you attend and plug yourself into the church, he said, answers will come. You will get answers. So I knew through listening to the man of God where I needed to be. So I said, and I say this humorously, but it's pretty much the truth. I grabbed myself and demonstrated by the seat of my pants and by the nape of my neck. And I said, David, you get yourself up from that bed. And you get up and you go do what you're supposed to do. See, brothers and sisters, sometimes we got to jerk the slack out of our own self.
And I had this realization. I said, you traveled halfway across the United States to come to Bible school, and now you're going to lay in bed because you're too tired to get up? You get your sorry self out of that bed, and you get down to that church, and you get what you're supposed to get. God has some answers for me. Not only did I get to be one that has some answers, we got to be leaders in the school of the Bible class to help with it. See, brothers and sisters, you do not know where it will end up, where He starts you out. But I can tell you this, if you're not faithful, and I wasn't faithful, I can guarantee you if I weren't faithful then, you wouldn't see me in this position right here, right now. Why? Because I'd have been disqualified. Even though there was been a call of God on my life, I would have missed out on part of the preparation. Now, for us to comply with God, there's some things that we are going to have to submit to. And one of them is the will of God to be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, so that He can speak those things into our life. Now, I can tell you this from a flat-out fact. They are some phenomenal things that take place in Sunday school in this church. Amen. They are some phenomenal things that are spoken. And the Holy Ghost speaks some phenomenal things. And there's revelation that comes.
Yes, amen.
Is it different than Sunday morning service? Absolutely. But God does things in Sunday morning service.
Yes, amen.
Sunday night is different than Sunday morning. Does God do things on Sunday night service? Yes, He does. But I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest services that we have is a Wednesday night service.
Amen.
Is a Wednesday night service. Great revelations.
Yes,
I mean great revelations, an opportunity for great growth and for great change to take place in our lives. But if God's speaking and we ain't there, you know what we do? We miss it. See, I had opportunity to miss it. I'm telling you, when you work that many hours and you go to school that many hours and then you're up night hauling on Sun, of all of the nights of the week, Reetha, Saturday night or Sunday morning, however you want to call it. And if you don't think your backside ain't dragging, by the time you do that, and I had a legitimate reason to stay home. But the Spirit of God said, you know, if you wanted to miss God, why in the world do you want to go halfway across the world for it? If you want to miss God, brothers and sisters, you can do it at home. You can do it at home. What's that got to do with this lesson? Oh, it may have everything to do with this lesson.
Yes.
It may have everything to do with this lesson. And they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with the disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This was my word.
Yes. Amen.
This was my word. This was my word I got today.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And when he heard.
Yes.
And when he heard.
Amen.
See, brothers and sisters, one word from God
Amen.
Can change the rest
Yes.
of your life.
Yes.
And when he heard.
Amen.
And when he heard.
Let me say it, because I need to say this a few times, because we've got to catch this.
Yes.
And when he heard.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And when he heard.
Yes, amen.
And when he heard.
Thank you, Lord.
And when he heard.
Yes.
And people will say, you can tell them about something that's in the Bible and said, and they'll say, yep, I heard that before. You know what? They ain't got it.
That's right. True.
They ain't got it. Because once you hear something from the Word of God, there will not be that nonchalant approach to it anymore. Because one word from God can change the rest of your life. Just one word. Just one word. Just one word. And my word today that's going to be working in me is heard.
Yes.
And when he heard. And when he heard.
Yes.
When he heard.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus spoke these words when he was speaking parables to people. And he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And a lot of times we think about these things that's on the side of our head right here. But what he's really talking about is the ear of the heart.
Yes.
The ear of the heart. Did you know that the heart has eyes and the heart has ears? That the eyes of our heart be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened.
Yes, amen.
He said, the measure that you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you. So the way that we open our heart to receive is the way that it will be measured back to us. If you've got a hole that's this big, look at it. If you've got a hole that's this big of opening for God to be able to give you something, that's just the way that it's going to be measured back to. How much we open up to the truth. Now, if I've got the whole thing open, it can flow in. We've got more control over these things than what we think that we do. I had more control over it than I thought that I did. I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God would not leave me alone and would not let me lay in that bed. But he spoke to my heart because he knew there were things that I needed to receive in that school of the Bible class so I could bring them right here and now.
Thank you, Lord.
Right here and now.
Amen.
You say, when was that? Was that last week? No. That was 30-some years ago.
Yes.
But there was things, there was treasures that God was putting on the inside.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
But I had to get out of bed.
Yes.
I had to get out of where I was to get to what
amen.
He had for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And if I didn't, I would be missing out on what he had.
That's right.
So,
God, thank you,
when Bartimaeus,
hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, he has got a legitimate need.
Yes, hallelujah.
He has got a disability.
Lord.
He has got something that he is dealing with, and he can't get away from it. He can't change it within himself. There ain't no doctors that can help him change it, but he hears something. He hears something.
Yes, amen.
Now, it's important that we hear.
Thank you, Lord.
And how we hear. Because Jesus said, you take account of how you hear. What you hear and how you hear it. Because what you hear and the way that you hear it is the way that it's going to have an effect on you.
Yes, amen.
So, I can only imagine how this is taking place. So give me a little bit of liberty just to wade through this one.
Thank you, Jesus.
So over, he's in Jericho right now. Jericho wasn't the only place that Jesus preached.
That's right.
He preached in Nazareth.
Yes.
There he couldn't do but just a few little simple things because of their unbelief.
Yes.
He preached in Capernaum, and great miracles and all took place.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Now he was coming out of Jericho, and as he's coming out of Jericho, Bartimaeus can't see what's going on, but he hears something about what's going on. And as he hears what's going on, he says, it gets his attention, says,
What's all of this commotion about today?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There's people going and coming out of here all the time.
Hallelujah.
But this is different.
Hallelujah.
He said.
Hallelujah.
Somebody had to tell him. He said, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. You talking about the Jesus is passing by? I ain't never seen him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I have never seen him, but I've heard about him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I heard over in Nazareth, he tried to do a few things. I heard over in Capernaum, he did some mighty things. And there was people that were deaf and they could hear. There were people that were blind that could see. There were people that were paralyzed that got up and walked. Brothers and sisters, he heard. He opened up his heart.
Yes.
He opened up his heart.
Amen.
See, this is one thing about a beautiful testimony.
Amen. Yes.
See, a beautiful testimony will inspire your faith, but it won't give you faith. It will inspire your faith,
yes,
but it won't give you faith.
Hallelujah.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's important. That's why it's important for us to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, because it was an opportunity for my hearing to enlarge.
Yes, amen.
And as my hearing enlarges, my capacity to receive increases.
Yes, amen.
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 Amen. My capacity increases. Sandy told me, and I've shared this with you before, she says, it's like you love me more than you used to love me. I've loved her ever since we got married. But I answered her question like this. I love you more because my capacity has increased. And you think that you know all about the love of God, and you think that you know all about what little teeny bit that you've learned about God, but I can tell you this, as you fellowship with Him,
amen,
and you be around Him,
hallelujah,
your capacity,
hallelujah,
will enlarge.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your capacity, hallelujah, will enlarge. There will be an increase.
Thank you.
But it has to do with something, with a law of faith that's here, that with the way that you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you.
Yes.
And a lot of times we'll want to blame it off on God. And it really would, and it boiled down with the way that I was hearing.
Yes.
Now, see, he exposes all of this stuff. And he explains it in his word.
Thank you, Lord.
And a lot of times we'd rather live in our own ignorance than to live in the wisdom of God.
Thank you,
Lord. I'm going to say that again.
Hallelujah.
We had rather live in our own ignorance than in the wisdom of God. But our own ignorance won't do nothing but keep us bound, but the wisdom of God will show us how to be set free.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
So, Bartimaeus heard. He heard.
Thank you, Lord.
That Jesus,
yes,
was passing this way.
Hallelujah.
And he said, Jesus,
hallelujah,
I ain't never seen him,
you,
but I tell you one thing, I like the stories that I have heard about,
hallelujah,
him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank
and it sparked you, something inside of him. And he begins to do something.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he begins to cry out.
Amen.
And he starts saying some words. He says,
hallelujah,
Jesus,
hallelujah,
thou Son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And his friends and his colleagues and the people that's in the ailments and going through things just like,
yes,
he is,
yes,
they're starting to say to him, Bartimaeus, shut up. You're embarrassing us. You're causing a scene right here. You know us beggars ain't supposed to be causing a commotion like this. But there was something in him that wouldn't let him stop. Because he knew that he had to get the attention of Jesus. He knew he had to get the attention of Jesus. See, it's different for us. Every one of us that's in this room right now have ability to move toward Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Whether we will move toward Jesus is another thing altogether.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
But every one of us,
thank you, Lord,
can see.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You can see. Yes. You can see where you want to walk.
Yes.
You can see if something was in your way. So from a natural standpoint, from the sight part, there's nothing that's hindering us. Bartimaeus didn't have this. He was blind. This says if a blind man starts walking, he may fall in a ditch. That's why it's good for him to walk with somebody. But he can't use his eyes of faith, but he uses his mouth for faith. And he starts crying out. He heard of Jesus. Now, Jesus is getting ready to hear of Bartimaeus. Glory to God.
Yes, hallelujah.
He has heard of Jesus, but Jesus is getting ready to hear of Bartimaeus. See, a lot of times we think, I'm just going to sit here and be pretty while I'm in church. And God's just going to come and visit me right where I'm at. And a lot of times, you'll sit there, and 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 then you'll start blaming God because he hadn't come visit me while I've been sitting here. But I can tell you where you've been sitting, just like where I was laying in that bed.
Yes.
You want me to tell you where I was laying at? I was laying in unbelief.
That's right. That's right.
I was laying in unbelief. You can stay home and you can sit in unbelief. You can ride around in your car in unbelief. You can go to your job in unbelief. But if you're going to stop Jesus,
yes,
you're going to have to get out of unbelief.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You're going to have to get out of unbelief. I had to get out of unbelief. I had to take a corresponding action.
Yes.
That's when I portray it like this. I said, David, you ain't laying in this bed.
Thank you, Lord.
And I took myself by the seat of the pants and by the nape of the neck.
Yes.
And sometimes you just got to give your own sorry self a talking to. And say, you ain't doing this and you ain't going to get by with it. There's things that you need from God. And there's things that God needs from you. So you're going to get up and you're going to go to that school of the Bible class. And not only are you going to go, you're going to engage. See, a lot of times we think that we get our star beside our name because we can. We get a star beside our name because we engaged. Because we engaged. Because we engaged. Oh, God, bless me if you can. You know what you'll do? Same thing I would have done. I would have done without. Because faith hears something. And faith responds to something. And Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing his way. Now, how about this? If faith is passing your way, or mercy is passing your way, or Jesus is passing your way, are you just going to let it get by?
Take it.
Oh, God, hallelujah.
Amen.
I take it. I receive it.
Receive it.
Here's a picture of Bartimaeus receiving it or taking it. Shut up, Bartimaeus. You're embarrassing us. Hold your tongue. And the word says he cried all the more. Because what he saw, he wasn't going to let his miracle get past him. The one who was bringing the miracle, the one that he had heard about over in Capernaum, the one that was doing these things in other places. Ah, the thought comes to him. You know, if he did that in these other places, he could do that for me.
Amen.
If he did that in these other places, he could do that for me. See, a lot of times what happens to people in church, they sit around and wonder, and they live in wonderland.
I wonder if Jesus could do that for me. And then they answer the question, sure, Jesus could do it for me, but I wonder if Jesus will do that for me. And when we get a revelation of Jesus and a revelation of his word, then we start narrowing that thing down. He says, if he'll do it for that one, he'll do it for me. So he cries out all of the more. So Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing his way, but he made something happen. He made sure that Jesus heard from Bartimaeus. Now, I got a whole other message, but I ain't going to preach it this morning.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Because it's a miracle that always takes place at this intersection or this juncture. But it'll never take place unless I can get on the page that I need to be on. I can know that it's the will of God for somebody else, but I won't ever know that it's the will of God for me. Because Bartimaeus is the picture of faith. Jesus is the picture of mercy.
Yes.
Now, I want to say this because I want to make a hook here because I'm going to preach again tonight. You don't want to miss tonight, because if you do, you'll miss part of the message.
That's right.
If you miss part of the message, you'll miss part of the Word of God. It could be the very part of the Word of God that stops you from being healed. See, Bartimaeus wanted something more than he wanted the comfort of his friends. See, a lot of times we want friends that are in a slight boat with us so that they can pat us and make us feel comforted, because they know what we're going through. They know what you're going through, but brothers and sisters, they can't help you one ounce to get you out of the place that you are. And there ain't but one that can get us out of the place that we are, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Now, who do we want as a friend? Somebody in the same crippling, debilitating situation that we're in, or do we want Jesus? So Bartimaeus chooses the higher road. He chooses the higher way. And he calls out to the one that can help him. And he cries out to the one that can help him. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, brothers and sisters, mercy is the flip side of judgment. Not getting what we deserve. Not getting what was coming to us. But Jesus took the judgment and what was coming to us, so that we could have his freedom. See, there's a freedom that comes in the health. There's freedom that comes from being delivered from sickness and disease. There's freedom that comes from being delivered from sin and all of the things that are associated with it. And Jesus gave his life to make that possible for us. So Bartimaeus said, here's my chance. My chance to receive of mercy. I'm not letting mercy pass me by. So he starts crying out. And as he starts crying out, something supernaturally happens. And it's amazing to me when I saw this, I said, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's my picture. Jesus is on his way out of town from Jericho. And as he's walking, because his destination is over there, he's going somewhere. God is always moving and he's always going somewhere.
So, as he's walking on his way, and I call this Mercy Avenue.
Yes, amen.
You can always find Jesus on this road. But Bartimaeus is over here. And he's crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He said at one time, nothing seemed to happen. He said it again. I don't know how many times he cried out. I tell you what, think about this for a second. How many times do I need to cry out to God? Many as it takes to get his attention. Because a lot of times, I'll ask Sandy, I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I rebuked it." And a lot of times what will happen, we'll rebuke something in our head, but we'll never rebuke something with our mouth. We'll try to take an authority in just these little passive kind of ways instead of really taking the bull by the horns and meaning business. I'm speaking to us.
That's right.
I'm speaking to us. The Holy Ghost is speaking.
Amen.
So, Jesus is walking. But when he comes to this place, these words from Bartimaeus, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me," it stops him in his tracks. Do we have any other account of scripture like this that could compare with this? See, there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she said within herself, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Jesus was surrounded by so many people and people touching him and pressing against him. And as Jesus is walking, and she reaches and touches that garment, Jesus stops in his tracks. And he says, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me?" And looking around, he saw her. And he speaks to her and he says, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole." This was a place of intersection. Mercy was coming by. Faith met him. Faith met. There's always a miracle that takes place.
Yes, amen.
When faith meets mercy. Now, I know he did it for the woman with the issue of blood. I know he did it for Bartimaeus. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm sure I'm having a hard time with him stopping for me. You know what? We may have been. See, there's a difference in a cry. And there's a difference in a cry of faith. There's cries of desperation. There's cries of heartache. There's cries of anger. Have you ever been so angry that you cried, so mad that you cried? "You better leave me alone." Ever been there? "You better let me cool my jets." Anybody been there? See, there's many different cries. There's many different responses of the cries or what initiates the cry. But there's also a cry of faith that may or may not have any tears associated with it. But I'm going to tell you what, when that cry of faith is really sounded, you don't have to worry about God stopping.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You don't have to worry about God stopping.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And when Bartimaeus heard, and when Jesus heard,
yes, amen.
The cry of Bartimaeus,
yes.
He stops in his tracks. And he says, hey, that one over there, the one that they're calling the loud mouth, bring him over here. See, to the natural mind and the natural world, they would associate Bartimaeus as being a loud mouth. But Jesus associated him as being the one who, out of all of those people who had the faith. See, one word from God can change the rest of your life. One word from God can change the rest of our life. See, Jesus didn't know Bartimaeus one thing. You know what? Jesus don't owe you nothing either. And he don't owe me nothing. Everything that we've received from God isn't a payment that he owes us. It's a mercy that he wants to bestow on us. It's a mercy that he wants us to receive. And when mercy's flowing, we need to be the one with the hand of faith reaching out, taking to receive. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
I want to preach some more.
Yes. We're getting gooder and gooder.
There's gonna be some good things going on tonight. You ain't gonna want to miss it. What are you gonna miss? I don't know what you'll miss. You might miss your miracle. Your miracle might come through a word, just one word. But I can promise you, we will have to hear it in order to get it. We'll have to hear it in order to get it. Stand with me.